Good morning, church family. We are coming to the close of the summer, and we wanted to begin a new series today that we are calling So Last Year, talking about truths over the last couple of years that perhaps hold more application and relevance in the time, in the season that we are living right now, than they have ever before. So ironically, I suppose, so last year is that these messages would not be so last year, because they are now words. That is the way the word of God is for us, right? It always has a word for us right now, and the word of God is always relevant. The word of God is always timeless, and it is worth repeating. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 today, verse 3 through 5. It's important that you look at the scripture. It is a key to success in this next season that we are going through. I believe that what I have to talk about today might be the most important thing that we ever talk about as a church family. I believe it's one of the most important things to understand in the Word of God. And I'm not just saying that so that you'll listen. I truly believe this is probably one of the most important sermons I preached over the last couple of years. And God wants us to know and understand how to deal with this. And the title is simply this: strongholds. We're going to be talking about strongholds in our lives. Lord, we thank you for this time together. I pray that you help every person to be able to listen, that they would be able to tune in, that they would be able to not let anything distract them from hearing from you today, that you would show us something fresh, something new to help us have victory in our lives, in Jesus' name. I want to ask you a question today. Have you ever wondered how the devil is able to get us to choose sin over the love of Jesus? Why would we ever pick sin over the love of Jesus? Let me tell you this. Nobody ever woke up one day and said, you know what? I'm going to choose sin over the love of God that brings victory, that brings freedom, that brings peace and joy in my life. No, I'd rather do sin. Nobody ever woke up and said that, because nobody ever woke up and said, today I'm going to start becoming a serial killer. Today I'm going to become a murderer. Today I'm going to become a liar. Today I am going to wake up and be more fearful than I've ever been in my whole life. These are all strongholds that people have. I'm going to list a few more of them, and it's going to get a bit long, but you'll understand the point. Nobody ever woke up and said, you know what, today I want to be secretly addicted to pornography, or I want to be secretly addicted to alcohol. Today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be more judgmental and angry and hateful and more critical than I've ever been in my life. Today I'm going to become more racist. I'm going to become more prejudiced. No, these things all come from the devil, and he's very crafty in the way he causes us to let these start to manifest themselves in our lives. Nobody ever said, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be more mentally unstable than I've ever been before. I'm going to be more prideful. I'm going to be more depressed. No Christ follower ever said, I'm going to be full of fear. I'm going to be self-righteous. I'm going to be complacent. No, it happens over time by building something called strongholds in our lives. I'm going to talk about strongholds today in a number of different ways. And the first thing I want to talk about is I want to give you three signs that you might be building, even as we speak, strongholds in your life, or you might have them in your life already. The first sign is this. Well, me? I don't have any strongholds. I would never build a stronghold. Let me tell you, that is the first sign that you probably do have strongholds being built, because the devil doesn't build giant walls. His tactic isn't to build a giant wall in your life overnight. You wake up the next morning and here is this giant stronghold of sin in your life. You would say, no, I do not want this in my life. You would get rid of it. He doesn't do it overnight. He chooses to do it quietly and carefully. He begins to establish them. So the first sign is you don't even know they're being built. The second sign is this: although they are built slowly, methodically, and consistently, they grow stronger each and every day, brick by brick, all the while we don't even notice them being built. Before long, we become trapped in our stronghold. Inside of it, we're going to talk about what a stronghold is in a minute, but we become entangled in the sin, we become mixed up the weeds in the wheat, we become full of guilt, full of condemnation, and we don't even know what happened. Paul explained it like this, because he had a thorn in his flesh. I don't know if it was a stronghold, but he said, you know what? The good in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 20, the good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature, because I know I'm sinful. For I have the desire to do what is good. How many agree so far? But I cannot seem to carry it out. For I have the desire, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but instead the evil I do not want to do. This is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it. He's not removing the blame from himself. He's just making the point that we have a sinful nature. There is a real enemy, and he is doing it in us. It is no longer I who did do it, but it is the sin that is living in me that does it. The third sign that we may be building strongholds. The first, I don't have a stronghold. The second, they grow stronger each day, even though they're built slowly and consistently. The third sign is this: they're built when we least expect them. You know, Jesus was out in the desert for 40 days. He was hungry, and that's when the devil came to tempt him. It says that the devil came when he was tired, when he was not expecting it. And in verse 13 of chapter 4 of Luke, it says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You know what? The enemy is looking for an opportune time to tempt you, to build in you strongholds. And he'll do it when you're tired. He's having a heyday right now in this pandemic. There are more suicides, more abuse, more sin going on than ever before. And I think part of it is because people have time on their hands, and people are frustrated and upset and worried, and they are not on guard, on alert, and the devil is building strongholds. He's having a heyday. I remember one time I was in a time where the devil tried to build a stronghold in me that I least expected. My wife was out of town. My son was with her. That was all I had at the time, was one, that was Noah. And she had gone off to a retreat or something, and I went to take out the trash like a good husband does when his wife's gone. I was cleaning, and I walked out to the dumpster in my apartment complex, and right inside was a dumpster full of tapes, of videotapes. I don't know if you even know what a videotape is anymore, but a VHS of pornography, all kinds of pornography that you could ever imagine. And I was like just beside myself. I couldn't believe that it was even happening. It wasn't immediate that I felt guilty or nervous or even convicted. I felt like, wow, I'm alone, my wife is out of town, and I thought, I'm going to watch one. And I grabbed it out. And as I walked into the house, it was almost like the Holy Spirit knocked me over and said, you get back out there. You know what you're going to be doing tomorrow night. You're going to be preaching to a bunch of teenagers about being pure. You throw that away. And I went back and I threw it away. It was when I least expected it that the devil will tempt you and try to build strongholds. What is a stronghold? It's not a Lego wall that I'm building right here, but it's built that way, brick by brick. What is a stronghold? We need to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 to see what it is. It says it very plainly. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. In other words, we wrestle not against people. When you get upset with politicians and you get upset with people and you get upset with situations that are happening, understand that these are not what we are supposed to be wrestling against. The enemy is who we wrestle. We do not walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons that we use are not our mean words to people, are not the things that man uses. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're not human, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, crushing them, destroying them, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against our God. That is the weapons that we have in God. Strongholds here is the Greek word akamora. It's a very interesting word that translates to something that might just completely blow your mind. Listen to what strongholds, the definition of akamora is. A prison that is created around you because of lies that are said over you over and over again until you start to believe them. Akamora, a prison that you build around you out of lies that you've heard over and over until you start to believe them. It reminds me of the picture of an elephant in the circus. I've heard that the way that they control a powerful animal like an elephant is by tying a rope to its leg and to a weight on the ground. And they do this at an early age so that every time that this rope is tied around its leg, it knows it cannot get away. And as a baby, this weight is strong enough to hold him. But as it grows up, there is no weight that can hold a giant elephant. They are so strong and there would be no way to control them. But it thinks, because it's heard through its whole life and it's believed that this weight will keep it from running away, that it never tries because of the akamora, the prison that has been built, that it's built in its own mind because of lies. I have to compare this with us. We are mighty in God to pull down our strongholds, to cast down arguments that the enemy would love to speak in our ears. We have all authority been given to us in heaven and earth by Jesus. Yet we give in to the enemy. Even though the enemy is defeated, he will control us. A powerful being like someone created in the image of God, he can control us through strongholds, through that akamora, that prison of lies. You gotta think, man, there are akamoras being created around us every day. Make sure you are alert, watchful, listening, aware. How do these strongholds form in our life? That akamora was just pulled down right there. That was a table that was knocked down by the wind. How? That got your attention. How do strongholds form in our life? Well, you'll need to read Galatians 5. That is your homework assignment. I hope you are joining us in our discipleship series, Thriving at Home. It's an online course where you listen to teachings, where you practice the disciplines. You can find that at newsongcs.com/grow. It's not too late to join us. Many have already joined us, but we'd love you to join us as well. But how do strongholds grow? Well, read Galatians 5 on top of what we're doing in our discipleship. It'll explain everything to you. But in short, you would like to know the cliff notes. Well, let me tell you, Galatians 5:16 says, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That's the way to do it. If you were to ask a neuroscientist, how do these strongholds, how do people form these strong habits and addictions in their lives to things, a neuroscientist would explain it this way. And it's amazing how God created the human brain, that He designed us with neural pathways that are constantly being formed each day. And every day it develops and reprograms itself as it responds to the stimuli around us, and it causes us to adapt better to the world around us. The neuroscientists would even explain that your brain is even rewiring itself all of the time. All the nerves are being renewed each and every day. Doesn't that sound like something God would do as it sees factors around it that cause it to change? Let me explain it in layman's terms. All right, a baby cries, right? A baby cries, you give him a pacifier. That is a direct result. So the next time the brain knows, the baby knows, if I cry, I'll get a pacifier. When we are bored through this pandemic, we eat. We have discovered, we have reprogrammed our minds going this way long enough that every time I'm bored, I'm supposed to eat. Not because I'm hungry, but because I'm bored. This is a neural pathway that has been formed. It's like what you see on a college campus or a school where they build a nice sidewalk and every kid skips the sidewalk and goes straight through the field, and there has it ruins the grass and there's dirt along that pathway because that is the pathway of least resistance. And where the children walk each way, that's where the pathway forms. We tell ourselves, I'm unsatisfied with living right. So you give in to sin and you find a little bit of satisfaction from it. And then pretty soon your brain forms a pathway, a habit that you end up just doing because that is what you do, because you found a little bit of enjoyment in it, even though you don't necessarily want to do it. Your mind will create a neural pathway to give into that habit the next time. The more often you take a pathway, whether it's righteousness or sin, your thinking will cause you to go down that pathway the next time. That's why it's so important that we develop good habits in our lives. When we come back, we're going to continue this talk about strongholds, and I encourage you to come back and hear. I'm going to talk about two ways of thinking that can be very dangerous in our life, and then I'm going to talk about two of our greatest weapons against strongholds. Okay, we are back. I'm glad that you are with us today for Church at Home. We want to encourage you, if you want to join us in person, we're meeting already in the parking lot, in the open air. It has been wonderful to be around others and be social distance and enjoy ourselves together. I want to conclude our broadcast today with a few more things about strongholds. It is so important that we understand what strongholds are and how they are built in our life, because when they build up, they keep us from hearing God. They keep us from sensing the Holy Spirit. They keep us from doing what is right. They build walls that make us angry, that tear apart relationships. It's so important that we understand strongholds and know how to deal with them. And that leads me to two things I want to talk about, two ways of thinking that could be completely like super dangerous in the way we carry our lives, especially in this pandemic, because our thinking determines the direction of our life often. So we better think about what we are thinking about. And one of the things that we, the ways we think that is dangerous is this, and I'm going to look at it, and it's found again in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 4. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not human, they are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. They cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against God. Casting down arguments. That word arguments is a very interesting Greek word. It's the word logismos. It's where we get our word logic. It's also where we get our word imagination. Our imagination can be dangerous at times. We love to imagine things, and sometimes it can help us be very creative, but sometimes it can also help us to be very evil. And that word logismos also is the word logic. And usually logic is a good thing. We use logic when we know we better stay away from that edge so we don't fall off. We better not run out on the highway. We'll get hit by a car. That's our logical thinking. But sometimes our reasoning, our logical thinking can even get us in trouble. Even the most sound mind, when it's not submitted to the Holy Spirit, can develop quite a dangerous imagination. A stronghold of natural reasons can start to tell us and make us believe all kinds of lies that grow into a akamora, a stronghold in our lives. The deceit is this, that logical lies usually make sense because they're logical, and we've heard them over and over, and it seems logical enough, seems to make sense, and before long you believe these things. They rule your actions and keep you from obeying what you know God has called you to do. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes logic also helps us to obey God, but sometimes logic, when we reason together, will believe things that probably we shouldn't be believing. Reasoning can get us into trouble. Another kind of thinking is this, that can be very dangerous. Logical thinking, but also illogical thinking. Illogical thinking is the kind of thinking that happens when you least expect it, when you're not on your guard, when you're tired. Often at nighttime, when you're laying in bed, you start to your mind wanders. This is illogical thinking. This is the kind of thinking that makes you afraid that you might die. You might contract a dangerous disease, that you are going to be rejected when you go in for that interview tomorrow. You are going to run out of money. You are going to encounter the devil, and you are illogically thinking that these things are really going to happen to you. These are unrealistic fears. These are fears that are put there directly by you know who. And our imagination can get the best of us when we allow illogical thinking. This thinking will harass you and insist on keeping you awake, keeping you worried, keeping you upset, keeping you mad at other people. Even when you know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, it'll do whatever it can at all costs to steal away your peace. And that's not what Jesus has called us to be. Jesus came to give us life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I want to bring joy to your life. It is for freedom that you are set free. So be careful for logical thinking and illogical thinking. As we close today, I want to talk just briefly. What do we do? What do we do with all of this? What do we do? We know what strongholds are. We know what kind of thinking is dangerous. We know the signs of how strongholds are formed in our life. But what do we do to combat them? How do we keep them from building up in our lives? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, we got to go there again. It says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to pull down the strongholds, cast down the arguments, and everything high thing that exalts itself against our God." And then it goes on to say this: "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." That is what the weapons of our warfare are able to do. They're able to take those thoughts that we have, those imaginations, those illogical and illogical thoughts, hold them in captivity, put them in handcuffs, arrest them, and put them in the prison that our minds were in the first place. Because if you don't take your thoughts hostage, it'll just be a matter of time before the devil starts using those lies to hold you hostage and create strongholds in you, keeping you in bondage. We do not want this. Let me close with the two greatest weapons you have at your disposal when pulling down strongholds, when casting down arguments, when bringing every thought into captivity. Number one, the Word of God. It's not just a blue and brown book. It could be a black book. It could be the New International Version, the New King James, the Phillips Translation, the Good News Translation. The Message Version is awesome. It doesn't matter which one it is, because the Word of God is the Word of God, and it has the Holy Spirit on it. It's not just a book. These words were inspired by God, that were written by all kinds of different authors, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It is alive, the Bible says. It is sharp enough to divide our soul and our spirits when you read it, which means just simply this: it distinguishes what is imagination, what is logical, what is illogical, that goes against God. The Bible helps us discern and interpret and figure out what's real and what's not. It helps us to fight the battle for our mind, because we better think about what we think about, because our life often goes the direction of our strongest thoughts. The Word of God, one of our greatest weapons that we have. Read it. Be a part of our discipleship. Our Thrive at Home is a great opportunity to read the Word. We're reading all through the book of Acts right now, every day, one chapter. We'd love you to join us. The Word of God is a powerful weapon. The second weapon, and there are many others, but they all fall under these two categories. The Word of God, and the second one is the name of Jesus, my favorite name. You won't hear me say in person or online any other name, or probably any other word, more than the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus. It is the name above every other name. There is something about the name of Jesus. When you say it, if you're by yourself or you're with people, maybe it'd just be a good time to say Jesus. When you say the name of Jesus, it has power. But let me warn you, and it also has side effects, especially when you pray with the authority and the name of Jesus in your prayer. It's not an equation, it's not a formula, but when you understand with your mind and your heart what you're saying, when you say the name of Jesus, it has extreme side effects, especially when we pray. Understand that these side effects are not negative, they are positive. It's like the commercials you hear. If you take Xanax, remember that this will cause this, all of this small typed side effects. Well, let me tell you, When you use the name of Jesus in your prayer, be prepared, because this prescription will renew your mind, reprogram your thoughts. Be prepared that it will clean your brain, keep you from worrying that you are in a pandemic. Don't stop using the name of Jesus in your prayers, because they will do it will because the name of Jesus will do major damage to the strongholds in your life. Consult a doctor if you don't notice improvement in your thought life within seconds. The doctor, of course, being the great physician, Jesus Christ. Watch him transform your prison of lies into a lifestyle of peace and freedom. That is your disclaimer in using the name of Jesus. And what a better way to close our time together than to pray in the name of Jesus. Let's cast down every stronghold. I ask the Lord to impress on my heart what are some strongholds that people are dealing with that might be watching, and I'm going to list many of them because I want to speak directly and authoritatively to these strongholds in our life and tell them that they must bow to the name of Jesus. So I've written down this prayer. If your stronghold is not mentioned in this prayer, maybe it's one that you have and you didn't even realize you have it, or maybe I didn't mention it. Know that Jesus understands who you are, and he has the power over these, and they will be taken care of as well. Let's pray together through the word of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, today we worship you. We surrender to you. We give you more of ourselves in these days that we are living, because we know we are in days that we must be on alert. And right now we take a stand against the devil, against the strongholds, against the demons, against the enemy. We resist his wicked spirits to rob us from the will of God. And in the name of Jesus, we take authority right now over pride, insecurity, a lack of unity, and divisiveness. Lord, we take authority over hate and anger and judgment and critical spirits. Lord, we take authority over racism, over prejudices, in Jesus' name. We declare victory over fear. In Jesus' name, we declare victory over fear. Fear will not hold us in a prison any longer. Lord, we pray against, in the name of Jesus, rage, violence, sexual immorality, impurity, adultery, and lust. Lord, we bind and pull down the spirit of pornography, of addiction, of alcoholism, of lying, of manipulation, of greed, of those who think they can control things. Lord, we pray against them. We pray in the name of Jesus, we take authority over materialism, over selfishness, over dependency, over rebellion. You have no power over anyone that is listening, is watching this, in Jesus' name. We curse drugs. We curse heresy, stealing, unbelief, guilt, condemnation, and shame. In the name of Jesus, we even take authority over complacency, over laziness, over embarrassment. We take authority over witchcraft. I declare the name of Jesus higher than any other name, higher than you, chronic health. We believe for healing right now in Jesus' name for those who have chronic issues of health. Lord, we come against every disease, every sickness, every infirmity. By your stripes we are healed in the name of Jesus. I believe for healing all across our city, our church, our family, and anyone watching right now in Jesus' name. You are above every other name. We stand against these strongholds and we command them to have no control over us. We uncover the lie that it tries to keep us in the prison of, in Jesus' name. Who agrees with me? Would you say amen? Amen. God is with us. God is working. God is bigger than anything else going on. Be encouraged today. Jesus loves you. God loves you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Cynthia and I miss you. We can't wait to see you. Have a blessed day. Be thankful. There's lots to be thankful for. Peace.